today, what I felt, we're in the book of Ruth. We have two more chapters in terms of next Sunday and the Sunday after, where we're going to spend the last couple chapters of chapter 3, chapter 4. But today, particularly with a lot of VBS parents coming in, here's what I want to say. If you are a single parent, or we have a lot of this, a lot of folks that the wives, or maybe the dads, but I know of a lot of wives that come to church and the dad does not come to church. If you are single, or maybe you're in a position that you've just recently come from a divorce, this sermon really, every time you hear me say family, everything I'm saying applies to you too. It applies to every individual in this room. I'm specifically targeting it towards parents and towards families and towards kids. But everything said applies to you because we're talking about scripture and it doesn't apply to families. It applies to all of us, but I'm targeting specifically talking about families. So every time you hear me as I talk about this, every single bit of this can be applied to you. So with that said, here we go. I want to talk about three ways we fight for our families. And at the very end, I want to, and it may be one of those times I don't have time to finish the whole sermon. And that's what I love about the sermon notes. You can take them home. I really want to talk about how can you begin to pray. Because I think the most important point of the entire sermon is we have to pray. We need to pray. And so I want to tell you some pointed ways you can pray for your spouse, for your kids, for your family, and I hope that you'll do that. Because what I'm trying to communicate overall, anything I say today, is there's a battle at hand. There is a battle for the family in our country, around the world. And listen, if Satan can mess up the next generation, he's going to do it through the family. That's how he's going to do it. He's going to attack the family. You know, listen, I love my son. God's, or the demonic realm's plan is not to get to my son just through my son. It's to get to him through us. Through us. Through our relationship. So there is a battle at hand. And I want to say, how many times have we had the conversations of we need to have date nights. We need to have couple devotions. We need to have, maybe we need to co-read a book, an edifying book, or we need to go to church regularly. We need to get routine in that regards. We need family devotions. How many times do we say those things, but we don't do it, right? We get busy, life, we get interrupted. Busyness takes place. And we say, what's the use? And what I want to remind us of, all of us today, is Satan's plan is to destroy us through the family. That's what God's, that's what the demonic realm's plan is. Do not forget that there is a war and we are fighting with the demonic realm. So here's some passages. We're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. But before then, you have some notes in front of you. I just want to make some pointed verses, some of the most important ones here today. Here's what he says. 6, 11 through 12, and I'm going to read verse 16, and then we're going to go back and read the whole passage all at once. But here's what Paul says, and we're going to actually be in the book of Ephesians in the beginning of the school year, focusing particularly on identity, but we're going to cover all the scripture as well. But verse 11 says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe it's the word of God? Because what I want to point out to you, if you don't believe in it, then fine. But if you do, it says schemes of the devil. What does schemes mean? There's a plan afoot. The devil is scheming. And he says, put these on to be able to protect you from the planning that's taking place against you. Right? Schemes. Not just one little arrow, which he's going to say in a second, but schemes to ruin what God has planned for you. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You have problems with individuals in your life? Listen, do you have problems in your marriage? Do you have problems in the relationships in your life? It's not people. The big battle that's taking place is not against flesh and blood. And scripture, Paul warns us, when you have this conflict, when you see these things happening, do not be weary. Understand there are schemes and there is a demonic force and there's a war. And he says, wake up. That's what Paul says to us. He says, put on the armor of God. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly place. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The imagery is you are being attacked. Take up the armor of God. Protect yourself. By the way, we're going to read scripture in a second. Take up the word of God, which is the sword, which penetrates back your weapon against darkness. And God says, fight. There is a fight happening. You're either going to be passive and not fight, or there's a fight happening and you're going to be overcome. That's the reality. Satan is winning. Demonic realm is winning. It's havoc in our culture, in our country, in our churches. And the reason is we're not waking up to the reality of what's happening. Let me give you just a little bit of a personal thing without any names, without any statements. This week, I had a bombshell. One of my mentors, this is the second of maybe a few in my entire life. I'd say maybe I've had three great spiritual mentors in my life. Two out of the three now have had affairs and are out of ministry. That happened to me this week. Someone that I loved, I spent a lot of time with, that I cherish and I still value. But you know what? Arrows, standing firm, the fight. It was a loss, but God is going to save that. God is saving that marriage. But I'm woken up again with the reality of there is a battle. There is a fight for the family. And so this is very real to me because this is the second of maybe three real giant spiritual figures in my life that have succumbed to, you know, areas that the attack was on our family, and I don't want to go any more specifics, and none of them have to do with anything regarding the church, people in my life. So I just want to say to you, if you don't feel like this is serious, pay attention, it is. God wants to, listen, men, God wants to get to your family through you, and you're supposed to lead your family. So we have Father's Day, and that's the conversation we need to have. So three things I want to say in regards to what do we do against this reality. Number one, we must fight for our families by standing firm. By standing firm. Now let me say this. I remember being a youth pastor, and one of the things I used to joke around about is a lot of little boys wanted to go play video games. They wanted to go play and be army and go fight and attack, and they found a lot of joy in that like fake world. But here's the thing. We've got a real battle we don't need to go to video games for. And it's in the real world. And we need to have a pride for standing firm and seeing what God does. And there's something to be said about when you look at someone who's been married for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. They've been married for a long time. There's something worth saying. That happened not because it just happened. They stood firm. They fought. They fought for their family. And there's some principles to learn from folks who have done that. Because listen, marriage is hard. Life is hard. And there's an enemy and there is a war raging. So let's read Ephesians. This is the only big text we'll read. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And I've already read some of the verses. I'll skip over some. I got to turn there. Chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his strength of his might. These verses I read, but I'll read them again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the spiritual darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Is there an assault on truth in our country? Yeah. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do we struggle with righteousness? That could anytime, right? Verse 15, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Is there a need for the gospel? Absolutely. 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Do we need to be shielded from an array of an attack with faith? What's the assault on truth if it is not to get to faith? What's the shield? Faith. Here we go. It says, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. I mean, I don't need to get into a long description. Of course, you need a helmet. Your head is everything. I can lose a limb. I can't lose my brain. I mean, at the end of the day, salvation, if you don't believe you have salvation, what's the point in anything else? Right? What's the point in going to church? What's the point of hearing anything about God's word or any preacher? Right? If there's no faith and that you are saved, it all comes crumbling down. Clearly, these are the imageries taking place. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He makes that very clear. Praying at all times in spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mind, my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to stop there. We're going to talk more about prayer later, but here's what I want to begin to say. How many times, if we were honest, I say this, I feel like I say this every time I preach, but who cares about anybody else in the room? If you were honest, if you were just to think through yourself with what's being said, how many times have we set plans to make our marriage, to make our family, to make our kids, to do the things we know we need to do to grow, and how many times have we said, what's the use? Right? Busyness, it's too much busy, I don't have time for this. How many times have we made plans and we don't do them? We don't stick to them. And then we think, what's the use? How many times have we got to the place that we've stopped growing daily in the Lord? And I mean day by day. Like we're growly, we're going to the Word of God, we're going to prayer, we're going to God for strength. How many times has apathy set in and we just say, what's the point? How many times has that happened in your life and our life individually or as a family? How many times have we not taken captive our thoughts? Because that's where all things get derailed through your thinking. God, you know, people get, your thoughts go haywire. You say, what's the use? Then you stop trying. How many times have you not taken captive your thoughts? And then what happens is we end up not resisting the devil or temptation. Now, listen. Today's not the purpose, is not feeling guilty. My purpose today is to say we have to stand firm. We have to get committed. Guys, there's no more important thing in your life right now than you being who God's called to be for your family. Now listen, I'm gonna stand before God one day on behalf of how did I lead this church, but let me tell you, I'm not terrified of that. I'm terrified if I fail my family, if I fail Luke, if I fail my wife. I have more fear about what God's called me to be for my family than I do as the pastor of this church. That's the number one thing that has to be the priority in my life. And it's yours too. God has called you to parent. And if you have a kid, if you have grandkids, God has called you above all things to do your best and your very best to help that kid know Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to imitate Jesus. And let me tell you, when I watch that video, what stings out to me is I think dads play a huge role in mimicking. They mimic you. Girls love their daddy. But I can tell you something, if you got a young son, he's mimicking you. It's happening. I can look back on, it was laughter, it's funny, but it's true. How many times can you look back at your mom, your dad, and you mimic the things they do? Even areas like, oh man, I struggle with this, and well, my family struggled with that. I grew up with that. Guys, we have got to take a stand. We are being assaulted. We're in a war. It's fighting. Let's stop being oblivious to it. Let's wake up and say, the church, God has called us to stand firm. He's given us faith. He's given us salvation. He's given us his word. He's given us the word so we can walk righteously. But we got to stand firm. Church, will you do that? Number one thing, what can you do for your family? Stand firm. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now we could get into contextually into this text and there's a lot more to it, but I want to say real simply, you can't obey Christ if you don't take captive your thoughts. How many times do you sit in a mirror or you say, what's the use? Everything starts with your thinking. See, God tells us this in his word too. He says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your what? Mind. But that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We need God's word because we need to be conformed to the word of God, and we need to know God's word confidently enough to say, I'm not going to let this thought take hold of my life. How many times have things happened because of a thought that people didn't know the word of God or you ignored the word of God and it led to a trajectory that you didn't want to go? You may have even grown up in church and you knew better. Thoughts are dangerous. We have to take captive our thoughts, be renewed by God's word, and this is why you can't just come to church on Sunday morning. You got to be in the Bible every day. You got to be in the word every day. You got to live by God's word. When you have thoughts and you're like, this is not something I should be thinking, you need to find scripture to do what? The sword. You fight the thoughts, the things that are temptations, the things that are wrong. You fight with the word of God. You don't fight on your own. We need to battle with the word of God, and we need a people of God to stand by God's word, to fight with the word of God. That's how you stand firm. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let me say this, the beginning of this is submit yourself to God. We like to talk about resist the devil and he will flee from you. It all begins with submit to God. Are you submitting your life to God? Is your life, are you coming to God and say, you are the God of my life? Are you putting things aside because of your commitment to God? Because let me tell you, I can love my wife, I can love my son, but it starts with my relationship with God before it ever goes to them. It goes to God. Am I submitting my life to God? If I submit to God, the devil will flee. Because you know what? If I'm doing that, I'm already standing firm. So what I want to say is it begins with standing firm, resisting the devil, fleeing from temptation. All these things start with submitting to God. You got to get in the Word of God, and you got to take captive your thoughts. Church, today, the first thing I want to say to you is you got to stand firm. And if you say, well, Ben, my husband's not here, okay, you know what? You stand. My kids, and I got grandkids, and I'm bringing the church, then you know what? You know how much is against them. So you stand firm. You pray harder. You be the example you get in the limited time you're with them. No matter what the situation, you've got to be that person. If there's any hope, right? So whatever the situation, you fight, you stand firm, you be who God's called you to be. Don't say, well, I don't get to have that. Any example that you get to show has a potential of a seed that God can do amazing things with. So whether you are a single parent or you're a grandparent or you're a single mom or you're a single dad or you're a family, either way, stand firm. There is a fight. It's happening. Do your part in the battle. And that's what we need to do, number one. And the second thing I want to say to you is we fight by walking in faith. Sometimes we have patterns that set in, that get formed, habits that have persisted, dysfunction that has normalized. You ever said that? This dysfunction is just normal. We laugh at that, but sometimes we're really just kind of giving away because we don't want to deal with anything. Dysfunction can normalize, but there's a temptation to walk by sight to believe it will always be so. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you see a dysfunction or something's in the family, stop just writing it off and say, this is just who we are. Sometimes you need to say, you know what? I'm tired of this dysfunction. And someone has to start standing firm and saying, we're going to change this. We're not going to just deal with it. We're gonna actually stand firm, and by belief in God and faith in God, this dysfunction is not going to happen anymore. But that takes somebody standing in the trenches and say, we're going to fight. We're going to change this. This isn't going to continue. I'll give you one example. I remember being a youth pastor. A family came and pulled me aside, and she said, hey, here's the deal. I don't know what to do. My son keeps bringing his girlfriend back in his room, and I don't know what they're doing. And as we talked about it, I'm saying, you're telling me your son goes and gets to have any opportunity to go and closes his door for hours, and they watch movies, and you're telling me, what do I do? Let me tell you what you do. No! Stop letting that happen, right? And here's the deal. What happens whenever that's happened? You've let that happen. Now you got to go back and take back what you already gave freedom. That's a lot harder. So we're going to give up? What's the point? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to now take the stand and say, this is not right. This dysfunction can't continue. I've had conviction, but now it's time to stand on that conviction and do something, right? Stop seeing dysfunction, seeing the problem and saying, what's the use? Let apathy set in and just continue. Say, I see this, and by faith, I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith. I see this dysfunction, but I have a God that resurrected Jesus from the dead. And the Holy Spirit lives in me, lives in you. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, do you think he can fix that dysfunction? 100%, he can. Well, we have to not ignore the dysfunction. We have to deal with it. So I'm screaming, babies. I'm sorry. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Stop walking by sight. Start having the faith that God can, and you can, and your family can overcome whatever the circumstances are. Walk out of those. Stop believing what you see. Start having faith in what God says he can do and what he will do. And if you can't see through your circumstance, start finding other Christians who can tell you the testimony of how God has overcome things in their life. Start hearing more testimony about your God and what he's done and what he's doing, and stop believing the dysfunction and the thought of what's the use. So faith gives us fight, hope, strength, and newness of life. We have to have the hope that God gives us to overcome whatever the dysfunction is. So an important statement I want to say to us is we need to have the type of faith that believes in who we are. Most problems, listen, they start with our identity. And that's what we're going to spend the entire, after we get out of the summer, we're going to start an Ephesians series talking about identity. Who are we in Christ? Most problems start with you don't know who you are. And if you knew who you were, you wouldn't do the things, you wouldn't believe the things that you believe. So that's where it starts. Who are you? Don't believe the lie. I'm worthless. What's the point? I'm no good. I'm just like my father. I'm just like my mom. No, you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit resides in you. It's not just about who you are. It goes further. Who's in us? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in the business of resurrecting broken things. And he will do that in your family. And so who will transform our dysfunction into being more like Christ? Another good verse here is 1 John 5:5. It says this, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Through God, through belief, through the Holy Spirit, we overcome the world. Not succumb to the world. Not become like the world. We overcome all of these things. Now listen, I'm not saying this is easy, but it's number two. How does your family move and how do you progress? How do you fight? You fight with faith. So gentlemen, I want to say this as a father, and as you are a father, you are the leader of your family. You need to lead by faith. You need to leave rooted in faith, and that begins with you being in the Word, knowing God's Word, making statements. When you hear the dysfunction or you hear something going on, do you have verses that you quote back to whatever the thing is going on? You need to eat God's Word. You need to know it. That's the rock that God's called you to be. And listen, when I married my wife, I remember the passage of the scripture to this day, and we talked about it, and I think a lot of times wives are like, oh, submit to the husband. Let me tell you. When you read about what the husband's supposed to be, we're supposed to be like Jesus. What? Me? Like Jesus? That seems impossible, and it somewhat is. But guess what it says in that famous Ephesians passage about how the husband's supposed to be to his wife? It says, wash your wife with the word of God. Wash her with the word of God. How are you going to wash your wife and your family with the word of God when you don't know it? And let me just say this as a pastor. It doesn't matter how many sermons I preach. If I'm not in the Word of God on my own, outside of reading scripture or preaching, I'm not actually going to be flowing with the Word of God. I have to have time separated completely from sermons to really be in the Word, to where God's speaking to me directly, not something I'm preaching to folks. So what I want to say to you, gentlemen, we are called to lead our families, and it starts here. There is no, if you don't believe you're saved, if you don't believe you have faith, if you don't believe in the truth, your family's going nowhere. It's not. So don't depend on the pastor. Don't depend on Sunday school. Don't depend on a community group. Don't depend on somebody else. Don't depend on grandpa, grandma. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Learn the Word of God. If you're like, I don't know the Word of God very well, come to Sunday school. Get around some men that know the Word of God that would delight themselves in training you and teaching you in the Word. You say, well, my dad didn't teach me. I don't have a mentor. Well, you know what? There's men of God here that would love to pour into you. They'd be delighted to pour of God's Word into you so you can be who you need to be. But it starts with faith, it starts with standing firm, and it starts with somebody taking a stand, and that role is a man. That's a father. That's who we're supposed to be. And I have that extra conviction now, I'm a father. Amen? So I ask you, I tell you, let's stop making excuses. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's follow the Word of God. Let's love the Word of God. Let the words of God quote from our mouth. So often people say, stop preaching to me, right? Be preachers in your home. Study the Word. Talk about it. We need to know that. And thirdly, the last thing I want to say, maybe the most important, is we fight by persevering prayer. Persevering prayer. Oftentimes, prayer is one of those things we're rushed. I mean, if you're honest, right? We're rushed. We go to a meal. We may say the same thing we've said every time in a meal. We go to bed and we just like, oh, Lord, thank you. I remember being when I was in high school, I remember actually I would pray at night and I would be in my bed, and I'm not joking you, I felt so guilty. For years, I would fall asleep and kind of as I'm going in and out of consciousness would start calling God coach. To this day, I feel weird and guilty about it, but I would remember waking up convicted every morning saying, God, I called you coach again. I'm sorry. Obviously, I was terrified of my coach, but I would say coach, and I remember thinking that, and here's what I remember thinking is I should stop giving God my junk time, right? I say this, and I'm going to continue to say this. I literally love the Texans. I love the Astros. Well, not Astros as much, but I'm trying to get there. I'm working on it, all right? They got to get me back, and they're starting to lose again, and I'm like, Houston. But I do love the Rockets, and I do love the Texans. Like, I will never miss one of those games. I just don't. I make a priority to watch those things, and why don't I do that with prayer? Why don't I do that with the Word of God? Like, that has to be a priority, such a priority that I make time for it like I would the things I really value. I don't miss a Texan game. It's recorded. I make time for it. Same with the Word of God. Same with our prayer life. And let me say, beyond anything else, we have to pray. If you identify with my marriage is in trouble, this student, my son, my daughter, like I'm worried about some things, you've got to pray. You've got to bring others in and pray with them. Pray for God to do a work. Stop saying, what's the use? Stop giving up. Stop seeing the dysfunction. Start saying, God, I'm standing in faith and I'm asking you to do a miracle. Do it, Lord. And I'm going to keep knocking every day. Do that. Pray. Persevere in prayer. And so clearly at the very end of this text, you see that he starts talking about that in Ephesians. At the very end, he says, pray in supplemental prayer. Let me say this. We don't have much time because of all the things that have gone on today. But the call this morning is, with God's strength, fight for your family's health and well-being. If you hear anything from me, men, today's Father's Day, you're called to lead your family. You say, well, I don't have a father in the mix. Then guess what? You got to stand in that path for your family. You just got to do it. Now, can I use the term man up? You got to man up. It's got to happen. But guys, we've got to become who God's called us to be. That's what God has called us to do. And with that said, I want to kind of move into five specific ways you can pray for your children and grandchildren and your spouse. These apply to anything, but if you're saying, I don't know how to pray for my kids, can I tell you now how to pray for your kids? Can I tell you, as I was praying this week and spending time studying, and I'm thinking through, what should I pray for baby Luke? And that was my thought process. What would be a God-honoring way for me to start praying for my son right now? He's 9 months years old. What should I start praying? Let me tell you where the Lord led my heart. Here's number one. Pray for God to be their God. Pray for God to be their God. Look at this. Looking at Psalms 73, 24 and 25 says this, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And don't miss this. And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. You want to know what I'm praying for my son? God, help Luke desire you. Not just show up in church, sit in a pew. I want him to love you. I want my son to love Jesus. I want my son to love God. Not just claim God. I want him to believe in God. I want him to have all the hope. I want the Holy Spirit to fill my son in such a way when you meet Luke, you're like, this kid knows God. That's what I want for my son. Not just belief. Not just walking down and doing some baptism thing. Like, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is when I see my son, I see the Holy Spirit moving in him in such a way God is leading his path. I don't want small expectations. I want God to get a hold of my son. And to help him love God and love others the way only the Holy Spirit can do. That's what I'm praying. I'm praying for God to give that man, little boy, desire. True God-filled desire. That when people meet him, they meet someone different. The path in his life is God, and God's leading him. Pray for your kids that way. Pray for your spouse that way. Pray for you. Listen, if you're like, I don't have desire, number one place to pray is start praying for you. For God to give you a desire for him. Right? Doesn't all this stem from a desire for God? Ask God. God, listen, God says pray for the Holy Spirit. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. You may say you already have the Holy Spirit, but if you don't have desire, say, God, give me desire. You think the Holy Spirit doesn't want that in your life? You know the Holy Spirit prays for you and you don't even know what he's praying? He's in you muttering and talking to God in ways that we can't even hear. That's what the Bible teaches. Holy Spirit, God inside of you is praying. You think he doesn't want to answer that prayer that God would give you desire? He does. Pray for yourself that God would fill you, but pray for your kids too. Number two, pray for God to increase their faith. Let me see if we have this up here. Yeah, we do. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The apostles, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We often look at that passage and we just ignore it. Maybe right now you're so busy and you don't have faith. Pray for God to give you faith, but more importantly for your kids, pray for God to give them faith. Listen, faith is not a belief and you walk down. Faith is much more than you believe you're saved. Faith is living day by day. What did that passage in Ephesians say? What was the shield that blocked? Listen, every arrow while Satan is scheming against you. What was the shield? What? How do you block? What is it? Faith. Faith. So do you need faith every day? Yes. Is one event in your life enough of faith for all the schemes, all the arrows? No. You need faith day by day. You need faith renewed every day. So we need to pray for faith, the kind of faith that can give you the stance of persisting, a growing faith. Listen, faith is not stagnant. Faith grows. In my life, as I've walked with God, the more I've seen God move, my faith grows. It doesn't stay stagnant. It's not a one time or two time. It's an ongoing seeing my God continually in my life. It's an ongoing faith. So we need to pray for faith. Pray for your kids that they would have faith. Pray that you would witness their faith growing, that you would see their faith growing. Pray that God would do a work in your life, that you as a family see God and you see faith growing in your life. Number three, pray for God to soften their hearts. Oh man, this is a big one. Look at this. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Listen, only God can save somebody. Only God can convict somebody. Only God can save a hard heart. And I don't know if you witness in your kids or in your grandkids a hard heart. You've got to pray for God to soften their hearts. Pray, that's what has to happen for salvation to take place. Soft hearts have to take place. Pray that God would soften their heart. And as I think of Luke, my little man is stubborn. He is stubborn. I know it. I see it. And I'm praying for a soft heart so that God can do a work in his life. I pray that I don't teach him in such a way to have a kind of a, you know, just that natural reaction of, don't talk to me. I don't want that in my son. I want a soft heart. I want a compassionate young man, and only God can do that. And I'm praying that for my son now, 9 months old, before he gets hardened by the world, right? Before he gets into a daycare and they start stealing toys, and I don't know. We'll see where that goes. Pray for a soft heart. Number four, pray for God to help your family. This is huge, and I'm not going to read the scriptures. Read them on your own. Pray that your family would love the Bible, love church, and love God's people. Pray that God would help your kids and your family love the Bible, love church, and love God's people. God's people are just as hard to love as anybody else, if not more, because you're like, you know the Bible. Why are you this way? I have to pray this often. Pray that God would put in you a desire to love his people, love the church. Listen, people like to have excuses. I love hearing people say, well, I'm not in church because I met this one person and they were negative and they didn't look like Christ, so I left. Are you kidding me? Like, I can show you so many people that have so many problems that are all always negative. It happens all the time. Like, your faith is about you and your faith, not other people. Stop living through other people's mistakes, right? Why would you do that? Oh, I met this one drunk. I'm forever never going to church. What? That's dumb. Your faith is between you and God. You will stand before God one day. And let me tell you what you're not going to say. Well, I met this one guy over here and he had sin in his life and he said he was a Christian, so I'm running from God because of that. You going to say that before God one day? Because that excuse is going nowhere. Be with God's people. You need God's people. And I hope you find the kind of friends that are going to encourage you, strengthen you, pray for you, and be with you. Because the last thing you want is when you're going through cancer is to go through it alone. You want God's people with you, in the trenches, praying with you, holding your hand, being there for you. You don't want to be alone. Pour into people, and they'll pour into you. That's what happens. You pour into people, they pour into you, and God will give you so much joy through that. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up on God's people. Do not give up on the Bible. Pray that your kids would believe that. You know, we got into a time that, listen, church is not important. Sunday school is not important. We got all these other activities. They're so much more important. That's a sad thing. Because when the church goes away, how much more likely is it that your kid's not going to really grow? Church matters. I mean, we're talking about ancient scriptures that happened thousands of years ago where Hebrews, and clearly the author of Hebrews says, don't neglect meeting with God's people. It wasn't an option for the author of Hebrew. You need to meet with God's people because God has given us gifts. And by the way, if the body doesn't use the gifts, the body doesn't function properly. We're not meant to be individual. Guess what? We have a Trinity. God was never alone, even in eternity in the beginning. So I challenge you with that, and I know I got to go. So I'll finish the final thing. Pray for God to protect your family from temptation and for God to create in them clean hearts, the love and want to pursue righteousness and godliness. I want that for my son, and I want to say this, as I don't want to wait for a mistake. You know what happens oftentimes? A mistake happens and we start saying sorry. I want to be proactive in saying, God, protect me from temptation. Because I'm not the person that's going to sit here and say that I'm not susceptible to something coming in my life to where it could derail me. I got great mentors that it's happened to two of the three. So folks, stop assuming it can't happen to me. Start saying it could happen to me. And I'm starting to pray right now that God would protect me from temptation, and start praying for your kids that God would protect them from temptation. Let me tell you something. When you start praying that, you start realizing more spiritual warfare. Can I say that real quick before we leave? Last thing I want to say to you. When you start praying and you start getting more spiritual, you start getting more in tuned with the Holy Spirit, and you should start getting more tuned with what's happening in the world. And you'll start looking at your kids differently, realizing, hey, this is probably more dangerous. You weren't thinking anything of it, but you start praying, I'm telling you, you start praying and you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to do these things in their life, you're going to start being attuned to the spirit world. You're going to start recognizing there is more scheme, there's more things happening, and you're going to start seeing for your kids, you're going to be able to help them, keep them from temptation or correct them or show them, because you're going to be more attuned to what's really going on in your life and in your family's life and your kids' life. There's an element of when you start praying, when you start being filled by the Holy Spirit, you start seeing things differently. You start seeing the world differently. Does that make sense? Now, I just want to encourage you with that. I don't know about you. Maybe you've gone from a place that you didn't know God's word at all, and then you started growing, and you started looking at the word, and you're like, this makes sense. That's what happened to me. But as I start praying, as I start getting in tune with the Holy Spirit, you start discerning what's happening. You start having the ability to see through your kid's lens and like, what's coming? But pray that God would protect you and protect them from temptation. We have to do that. So with that said, I'm going to pray. We'll be finishing up. Sorry. But I know we had a long day. We had a lot of EBS. But listen, we've got to get to the place that we stand firm in our faith. And I challenge every man in this room, as I challenge myself, we've got to be the ones that lead our family. I fully believe I'm going to stand for God one day, and God is going to have a deep concern with how I raised, what I did, my role as a man in my family. What did I do with the role God gave me? And I listen, that weighs on me more than this position at this church. So guys, I hope that you would take that position and you would take it serious. And we're about to have a fish fry. We're going to invite all men out. We're going to be revamping our entire men's ministry. We'd love for you to come and share your thoughts of what you would like to see in men's ministry. We want a men's ministry that's going to serve the men of our church. And that means we want you to come, because I want you to have men that are sharpening each other. That's what we need at this church. And so with that said, I'm going to pray. But at the end of the day, maybe you find yourself as saying, I need a godly older man in my life to walk with. Can I say that if you're in a place that you think, man, I love what you're saying, but I feel inadequate where I am, can I tell you that it would delight the soul of many older men in this room to walk alongside you if you would be honest about that situation? Don't make the excuse of, I didn't have it, I didn't have a dad, I didn't have a mentor. Just say, I want that in my life. I want that kind of help. I want that kind of relationship. And the church is here to meet that need, to pour into you. But we've got to stand firm. Let me pray. Father, I come to you today praying for these men on Father's Day. Lord, I thank you for these men. And I pray that, God, you would give us a joy and a delight to fight for our families. That, God, every time that we have those thoughts of what's the use, what's the point, God, that you would direct our sight towards faith. That we'd have the kind of confidence to stop saying, what's the use, and start saying, we're going to pray more. We're going to fight more. We're going to read more scripture. We're going to talk more about you. Not run away from a dysfunction, but we run right into it with you, God. I pray that we would be the kind of men that would leave legacies, that our kids, God, as they think of us, they think of the things we showed them, in which they really grew to know you because of the relationship we had and how we led them. God, I pray that we would make that just such a priority, being the kind of father you want us to be, the kind of moms you want us to be, Lord, that would be such a weighty priority in our lives. Above all things, let us recommit our heart to the fight that, God, you have us in, and we know we have your strength through your Holy Spirit. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.